All right. I know we just had a long time of prayer, and I'm going to confess to y'all real quick. Sometimes that time of prayer is a deep time of prayer, and sometimes it's a deep, deep time of prayer in which my eyes close a little more than they should. So everybody stand up real quick. Stand up if you're able. Take in a deep breath and get ready, because we're about to dive into the Word of God and get all excited. All right. In and out. There you go. You can have a seat again. Have a seat again. Make sure everybody's awake and good to go. Last time that I had the privilege of talking to you, we looked at the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. And looking in this chapter, what we were really seeing is a little glimpse into what an unbeliever's outlook on life is, what they look. We look at Solomon there in that book, and in the beginning, he is just looking. He's searching for anything. The book starts out in... It says that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that word vanity, we looked at the fact that it means empty. It means meaningless. He was grasping. He tried for everything. But in Ecclesiastes, I should have my Bible open to there. Chapter 1, we're only going to be there for a second, but I still want to turn to it. Ecclesiastes. I'll read those verses starting in verse 2. It says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Vanity of vanities. When an unbeliever looks at this life, all they can see is emptiness. All that they can see is meaningless, because everything that they're looking at is under the sun. When we look under the sun, it really is exactly that. Solomon had all and more of could be had, more than any of us could ever hope to achieve. He was wise. He was smart. He had it all. And yet he says there's nothing on this earth that's anything. It's all meaningless. It's empty. It's vanity. And this book kind of seems to contradict itself, because at the end in chapter 12, it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." All right, so at the beginning it says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." But here we see that God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So obviously, it's not complete vanity. There's something there, but the thing is, it's the point of view in which he's looking at right here. And we're going to get to that. How many of you have ever been driving somewhere, been in a parking lot, and saw someone and their coffee mug was still on top of their car? They're driving down the road and that coffee mug is sitting up there. And what do you want to do? You want to be like, hey, you, stop, look, there's something there that you can't see. There's something going on. And you either get their attention and you're able to help them, or the coffee mug flops over on their windshield and then they know it's there. Or you see somebody driving and one of their tires is just crazy low on air. And you're like, oh my goodness, they need to get some air in that. Somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to help them, because they can't see the whole picture. They can't see what's going on. See, their point of view is constrained from the fact that they're inside of that car. They're not on the outside looking in. And so they're just going along in their merry way, because they have no idea that they're about to lose their coffee that they paid $4 for at Starbucks, or whatever obscene amount of money it costs. Or that they're about to blow out their tire that's going to cost them a lot more than a little bit of air would. See, we have to see here that in the beginning he's looking at a view of under the sun. And at the end he's looking at a view of above the sun. Above the sun. If you can turn to James chapter 1. We're going to look there real quick. Thinking about this mindset of the fact that the things that we do on this earth are important. Every deed, whether it be good or whether it be evil, will be brought before God. And it's going to have an effect. It's going to be brought into judgment. And, well, can't find the book of James. I came to start looking at this passage, and so we looked last time at that and the fact that when a Christian looked at this life, everything is meaningless. I mean, when a non-believer looks at this life, everything is meaningless because his point of view is limited to under the sun. So what are we supposed to do when we look at this life? We have an insight beyond what they have. We have an insight of over the sun. I thought of a tapestry or a weaving. Have any of you ever looked at the backside of a tapestry or of a rug or something like that? What does it look like? It looks like a mess, doesn't it? It looks like a mess. And I heard a man, he was from Iran, telling the story, said that he used to go into these rug shops all the time. And the man who was the weaver would be sitting there in the middle. And when you walked into the shop, he would want to be able to see you. So when you walked in, you would see the back of the rug that he was looking at, working on. And it would be a mess. It would always be a mess. But as you walked around, you could see the beauty of the art that he was doing. We have someone who sees the big picture. The big picture of absolutely everything. And that person loves each and every one of us, and he has seen fit to give us an insight into the big picture. Does he reveal everything to us? No, he does not. I think that that's very fortunate because I don't think we could handle it. But he has given us a little insight right here in God's Word, and we need to use that. I don't get offended per se, but when people say that, oh, you Christians are narrow-minded, I say, no, I see the big picture. I can see the big picture through my God, through what He's told me, and I'm going to live my life according to that. And that is what I love so much about the book of James. The book of James is like, look, this is how you're going to live your life if you're looking at the big picture. If you have a mentality of over the sun, not an under the sun mentality. We need to live our lives with an over the sun mentality, looking at the eternity of things. I want to read for you guys a verse that I think's all kinds of fun. In Acts 5, in verse 41, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." What kind of crazy people is this? Let's read this again. Think about it. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name." Rejoicing that they suffered? What is this? I think of the verse in 1 Corinthians 1:15 that says that the cross to them that do not believe is foolishness, but to us it is salvation. We have salvation. We have that. And my hope is that in light of the big picture, I can be seen as a crazy person, as a bit of a fool. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, I know I told you to turn to James, but we're going to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." Let us become fools that we can be wise, because we realize that under the sun, our knowledge, our mentality is not going to get us anywhere. It's going to leave us meaningless and empty. But let us look for an over the sun mentality. And here in James chapter 1, we're going to get to just start to see what he says. We'll read verses 1 through 3 for the moment. It says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, when I read verse 2, any of you guys have the King James Version? It says, "when ye fall into divers temptations." And since my girlfriend Maddie is a diver at Liberty University, I called her up and I said, "What does James 1:2 say?" And she said, "It's diverse, Isaac," which, of course, I knew. But it's good to have someone that you can pick with like that. But it's diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is why those people were able to rejoice over there in Acts. But I want to open up talking just a little bit about this book, the book of James. I love the heart of James when he comes here. There are some people that would like to dismiss the book of James from the canon of Scripture, and I say that that would be a great travesty. And if you don't understand it, I would wager to believe it's because you haven't studied it. And it's a great book, but right here in this first verse, we get to see a little bit of the heart of James. James was the brother of Jesus. He saw Jesus. He knew Jesus. He grew up with Him. What better could he use to proclaim himself valid to write this book than to say, James, the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of the Son of God. You know, that is who I am. This is why you should listen to me. But that's not what James says. In the opening, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James did not have the right to speak to you and to these people here because he was the brother of Jesus. He didn't have the right to speak to them because he was a great leader or because he knew different people. He had the right to write these words down because he was a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, if you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then guess what? You are to be not only a servant, but a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he therefore gives you the right to teach and to preach his word. He's given you his Holy Spirit. It comes on you the minute that you trust Christ. And it's our job and it's our duty to teach this, to teach God's word, to show it to other people, to minister God's word and to share with them the gospel. But I love that he's not coming from a prideful standpoint. He's coming from as humble as he can get. It's not anything but that I'm a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So he's talking here to the 12 tribes, to the Jews. We can keep that in mind. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. All right, so we looked a little earlier. A lot of people, a non-believer, like we were talking about, they would look at this verse and be like, count it all joy when you're in temptation. These other people back here, they were counting it joy when they fell into all of this trials and temptations. What in the world is this? This doesn't make any sense. And then the next verse would seem to make it a little more sense. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's like, okay, so trials are a good thing because they produce patience. Well, we all know not to pray for patience, but, you know, if trials happen, then I guess that can be okay. Now, you can pray for patience if you want to. It's up to you. It's between you and God. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But that's not the end of it. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This is the verse that I really want to get to right here. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So, this first part of this passage is count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This is just one example of something that unbelievers would say is crazy. This is ridiculous. Why in the world would you joy in these temptations? But we joy in these temptations because of what they can do for us through Christ. It says that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And this isn't perfect as in sinless, but wanting nothing. The way that God wants us to be. He has a plan for our lives. He has a way that he wants us to be and something that he wants us to do. And without these trials and temptations to shape us and to form us, we're never going to be that. But that we won't understand this. And a lot of times, even us as Christians, we can't grasp this. We look at it and it's like, temptation? Trials? What? No, I don't want to rejoice in that. I don't want to be in that. But verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. If any of you lack wisdom, the way that I see this verse in context of looking at Ecclesiastes, it says, if any of you can't see the big picture, let him ask of God to show you. That wisdom, really the only reason that we would sin, the only reason that we would choose to go our own way is because at that moment we don't have full understanding of what's doing. Because if we truly understood, if we truly brought in the love that Christ gave to us, there is nothing that we would do against his will. There, if we truly understood the magnitude of what is coming, the bema seat, the rewards that Christ is able to give us, and the love that we want to be able to show him, I don't believe that we would ever do any of those things. We're sinful. We are sinful. But that's what we are going to be one day, is we're going to be able to understand all that. But I just want to think, I'm out of time, but we'll try to continue this another time, but I just want to basically close with this, is that we have more of the picture than a non-believer does. We have a lot more of the big picture. We realize that we can live life with an over-the-sun mentality. And if you're living your life right now, and there's parts of it that you're struggling with, that you can't understand, that you can't comprehend, and you're having trouble with, you need to change your mind, your point of view, to the fact that you're looking at it from eternal perspective. Look at your life, look at the trials from an internal perspective. Look at them from over the sun, not from under the sun. When we look at it, it's like that tapestry, it's a mess. And we need to look at it from outside of the sun. And if you're like, I can't, I don't know how, I can't do this, right here in James it says, ask of God. He's going to give you that wisdom. He's going to he's going to show you how you can comprehend in the long run, this sin is not going to get me where I want to be. This laziness is not going to get me where I want to be. But we need to look at it in light of eternity so that we can live our life exactly how you want to be, how we want to be, how Christ wants us to be ultimately. And I pray that each and every one of us wants our life to be what Christ wants it to be. So I would encourage you all this week to look at your lives and realize that all of us are lacking wisdom in one way or the other. And pray to God, get down on your knees and say, Lord, show me the big picture. Let me view my life in light of eternity so that I'm not going after all these things that Solomon did that's going to end up in vanity, but so that I can be what you want me to be, so that I can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this chance that you've given us to come together, Lord, to open your word and to look at what you have for us to learn and to see. Lord, I thank you so much for this little bit of the big picture that you've chosen to show us. Lord, I thank you so much for your great power, for your creation of us. The very fact that we exist is because of your will, like we see later on in this chapter. It's of your will that you made us, and that blows our mind. Lord, I pray that we would have a response to that love, that our response would be real and radical and repeating, Lord. And I pray that we would be able to look at our lives this week and for the rest of our lives in light of eternity, that we would look with an over-the-sun mentality, not an under-the-sun mentality. And if any of us are lacking that wisdom to see our lives like that, Lord, that we would pray for it, that we would ask you and that you would give it to us. Lord, I pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.